A pastor who decided to skip church on Sunday and go and play golf. And so he said to his assistant, "I'm not feeling well." And then he got in his car and drove off to a golf course in another city where he would not be recognized. He teed off on the first hole, and a huge gust of wind caught the ball and took it another 100 yards in directly into the cup. A 45-yard hole-in-one. Unbelievable. An angel asked God, "Well, why did you do a thing like that?" And God smiled and turned to him and said, "Who would he tell?" But this morning is not about golf. It's about prayer. And you could literally fill libraries with the books on prayer that have been written on the reason for prayer, on the styles of prayer, theology of prayer, community prayer, like this gathering this morning in the Eucharist, you name it. They have classes on prayer, labyrinth prayer, centering prayer, all manner of prayer. And then there are books on different kinds of prayer. Today our liturgy directs us to critically look at our own prayer life to see what prayer has done for us and to see what we have done as a result of prayer. So our liturgy today calls us to look at that special prayer, the prayer that Jesus gave us. There are three versions of the Lord's Prayer. One is in the 11th chapter of Luke that you've just heard. Another one is in the 6th chapter of Matthew. And then there is a prayer in a similar prayer in the Didache, which is a book of the sayings of the 12 apostles. Matthew has been teaching us about prayer in the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says, don't pray so others can see you, so you look great. And Matthew says, when you pray, go to your room, close the door, pray in secret, and then your Father who hears in secret will bless you and will give you what you need. Maybe not what you want, but what you need. Your prayer is between you and God. And then Matthew says, don't babble like some others do. There's a story about an old man who comes into church with a different style of prayer. He comes every day. He sits way in the back. And he just looks at the tabernacle. And one day the priest came to him and said, I see you coming every day and sitting in the back here. Do you need anything? And the man said, no. He said, I just come here and I sit in the back of church and I come to pray. I sit here and I look at God and God looks at me and that's all there is to it. It's about relationship. It's about getting to know who God is in our lives and knowing what he's about. What is unique about the Lord's Prayer is, and what is unique about Jesus' life, is it puts us in relationship with God. This prayer says that this is who God is, and this is who we are. This prayer is about what we really need in this life to move on to the kingdom. And the coming of the kingdom is a process that begins with each one of us. A strong prayer life is what moves us on in this process and helps us to understand God's plan for us in this process. Give us this day our daily bread. Wow. Isn't that something? And in Matthew's gospel, he uses a word that says, once and for all. In other words, when Jesus comes again. And in Luke's gospel, he uses a word that means day after day. Every day we need something to eat. We need clothes to wear. We need a place to stay. We need people to give us affection. We need a place to use our talents. But there's also a Eucharistic nuance here that we don't want to miss, and that is our need for a spiritual feeding, that hunger that we have each day and every day. Forgive us our trespasses. Well, it's not easy to believe that we are imperfect or that we miss the mark, but that's a reality. Sometimes it's even hard to pray when we have missed the mark, when we have sinned, when we have failed. There's a scene in that movie, City Slickers, where Billy Crystal and his friend are riding along on his horse, on their horses, and the friend says, my life is a mess. My marriage is a mess. I'm so depressed. My total life is in despair. And Billy tells his friend, well, the thing that you got to realize is that life is a do-over. You can have a chance to renew your life and move on. Well, we don't want to mess up. We don't want to do something that will destroy our lives. But it's a good thing, though, that when we happen to do that, Jesus is there with forgiveness, and we can do over. However, we have to be willing to forgive others. That can be big. That can be huge. In the first reading, Abraham's persistence that God considered the possibility of, saving Sodom and Gomorrah if there are 10 good people to be found in the town. In the gospel, Jesus makes a major pitch for persistence. And we should keep, in other words, he says, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, keep praying. And the door will open, and we will find, and we will receive. So when we pray persistently, we come closer to a relationship with God. God has not changed, but we are. We see more clearly what we really need in this life. We see more clearly what God's will is for us. We see more clearly the value of a forgiving nature. We see more clearly the greatest value of consistent prayer, not so much in changing the world around us, but in changing us. Reflecting on the Lord's Prayer is a perfect way to check out our own spirituality in our relationship with God, in ourselves, in each other. And that's why Jesus gave it to us. Jesus wanted us to have what works so well for him, praying to the Father. Our Gospels this morning started out with Jesus praying, and he did that very often. Meister Eckhart, in the 19th century philosopher and theologian, said, if you just say pray, if you just say thank you, that's a biggest prayer, that's enough. And, well, maybe we need more than that. St. Augustine said, pray as though everything depends on God, and work as though everything depends on you. And so as we come to the Eucharist this morning and we recite the Lord's Prayer, let's really think of those words we're saying and embrace our relationship with Jesus.